It's the Mainly Plants podcast. How are we doing? Hope everyone's doing well. Hope your week is going swimmingly. If you're a first-time listener, I appreciate it. Come back, listen to some more. Go listen to the back episodes. Tell a friend, family member, coworker, loved one. It helps me out a ton. You know, I've done this podcast for a long time, but I took a long time off. I think I took like a year or two off from doing the podcast. And prior to that, it was a relatively big, successful podcast. And you know, it was not a smart move of me to take the time off at the time. Obviously, you know, hindsight 2020, but you know, I was going through some personal stuff, so it just seemed less important. But I would love to get it back to the size that it was before the audience. So if everybody can just share it with somebody, if you haven't rated it and reviewed it on whatever platform you're listening it to on, I would really appreciate it. I saw I got another one or two ratings and reviews, so I appreciate that. I mean, they are anonymous, so you know, if you have something negative to say, I still want to hear it. So last weekend was Pause for Pizza. This past Sunday, the 24th of March, first annual Pause for Pizza, and I think it was a great success. You know, we had live music, we had a lot of pizza and cocktails and the raffle and t-shirt sales and our vendors, and we ended up getting, I think, like 4 dogs adopted, which is pretty good for a first-time adoption event. One of them being to a vet, which is awesome. There was one point where when you are co-hosting, co-creating an event like that, it's kind of a surreal experience when it's happening. It doesn't feel like you're actually there. So there was a point where I kind of like came to and took a minute to breathe and kind of look around, and it was fucking packed in there. We had a huge outside patio with a stage, and there was a little indoor area with the indoor-outdoor bar and the vendor village in the parking lot. And there was a lot of people there. You know, I would venture to guess there were a few hundred over the course of the day. So I'm really hoping we can make it happen again next year. I want to really quick thank everybody involved. My co-creator and co-host, Ivy, she was a rock star. Wouldn't have happened without her. The Vet Haven, PetSmart Vet Services, which are powered by the Vet Haven, and Il Bosco Pizza, and everybody involved, Jeff, John, Vitaly, everybody. I really want to thank everybody for letting me be a part of it. It was a very special day. Had a lot of people that I know come out. So if you weren't able to get to this one this year, please make a point to come to it next year, now that you have a year's notice. But it was a lot of fun. And Eleanor came, my puppy. She was a rock star. She stole the show. I got asked like 2 or 3 times if she was adoptable. She came, needless to say, we both came home that night and crashed pretty hard on the couch for a while. I was there from like 9:30 a.m. till just about 6 p.m. So it was a long day, but it was a lot of fun. It started off with a little bit of rain, so it was a little nerve-wracking, but it dried up and ended up being a beautiful day. So really, really loved doing it. I hope I can do more in the kind of rescue charity, the charity world. Okay, let's get into everybody. This episode. God, my brain is still a little fried, by the way. Between having the puppy and doing the event, I'm running on very little sleep. So while I might sound coherent most of the time, just know that it's just a hamster on a wheel up there. At any given time, it could just fly right off. So this week, we're talking about expectations, which I've talked about before, but I really kind of want to drive the point home. And coming off of expectations, creating boundaries in your life. Okay, so it's very crucial to not expect others to conform to these ideas, these expectations that we have in our brains, right? Each individual, each person is extremely unique, with their own thoughts and beliefs and experiences and, you know, life experiences and the way they do things and the way they live. as it's as complex as your own. Sometimes it's hard to like step out and see beyond our nose and realize that everybody's living a life as complex as yours, right? It's that idea of the word sonder. It's my favorite word. If you don't know what it is, Google it. S-O-N-D-E-R. But keeping that in mind, that everybody is living their own super complex life with trials and tribulations and everything and connections. And it's important that we don't kind of create and formulate these ideas of what they should be in our heads. Because doing that, expecting people to behave a certain way, will indefinitely and undoubtedly lead to miscommunications and conflicts and ultimately your own disappointment. So we need to respect individuality, right? It's like I said, everybody has their own journey that they're on, their own background, that they stuff that they've gone through that's made them the person that they are and have developed this set of values. And expecting them to fit into a predefined mold disregards their own autonomy and it undermines their individuality, right? Whether you like it or not, whether you perceive the way that they are as positive or negative, it doesn't matter, right? You accepting others as they are is accepting and respecting their uniqueness. They are different than you. No one's going to be the same. And this is a key point that people with borderline personality disorder don't really have the ability to understand. They develop these ideas in their heads of, and this is kind of a tangent, I'm sorry, but it hits home. They develop these ideas and expectations of what somebody should be, and when they don't adhere to that, and of course they won't, because that's not who they are. They're a person. They're a real person, not an idea in your head. So when they don't conform to that, and then when they aren't that, the person with BPD will cast them out and cut them off. So it's hard. It's hard for people with BPD to respect the individual. And it's also important to not have these expectations because it reduces conflict in your life. Right? Expectations lead to conflict when they're not met. And by letting go of these rigid expectations and accepting people for who they are, you're going to minimize the potential for disagreements, and ultimately, you're going to foster healthy relationships. It's also letting go of these expectations is also beneficial to your emotional well-being, right? Holding on to these unrealistic expectations can and will, if it goes on for long enough, lead to frustration and anger and disappointment when the other people don't meet these expectations. So when you accept these people for who they are, it allows you, right? We're looking inward now. That allows you to cultivate a sense of peace and contentment. And it's going to enhance your emotional well-being. You're not going to constantly be let down and frustrated and angered. And look, this is hard to do, right? People spend their entire lives trying to obtain this level of, I don't even know what you'd say, clarity, right? Like monks dedicate their lives to this. So just for the average Joe who's working a job and has a family and, you know, responsibilities and all this daily life bullshit, it's a lifetime of work. And we are, you know, obviously, we're going to be disappointed in life, and we're going to expect things of others. And when that doesn't get met, we're going to be upset. This is an ongoing process. This is an ongoing work. Personally, I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where I don't expect anything of anybody. What I hope to do, and what I think I've done pretty well so far, and what I'll continue to do, is number one, expect less, but also, depending upon what the action of the other is, forgive and forget and move on. Because it comes down to me. I can't control the other person. I can only control my feelings behind it. Right. So let's say someone doesn't invite me to something that I wanted them to, and they have their own reasons why they didn't. Maybe they even just forgot, or there was a misunderstanding. I can be mad, I can be sad. I can be nothing, which it would be like total enlightenment. Or I can be mad and be sad and then just let it go or not. But I like to let it go. I allow myself to experience the full range of emotions. So I will get mad or upset or I will get sad or some kind of combination of the two. And I feel it and then I let it go because it doesn't do me any good to hang on to it. And moving forward, it allows me to expect less of that person. Not necessarily in a bad way. It just is what it is. And it helps develop these authentic connections, right? These genuine connections are built on acceptance and understanding. And when you accept others as they are, you create this environment where people feel valued for who they truly are, which leads to more authentic and fulfilling relationships. It compounds on itself. And accepting others' differences opens the door to your own personal growth and learning. Instead of expecting everyone to conform to your perspective and how you want it, embracing some diversity allows you to broaden your own horizons and gain new insights. So how do we go about doing this? How do we kind of practice letting go of expectations? Well, I think the first one is you put yourself in other people's shoes and you try to understand their perspectives and their motivations behind their actions and their background, their experiences, their life experiences. Because this empathy will help foster acceptance and it'll help you see things from different viewpoints. This is one of the paramount things that microdosing psilocybin has allowed me to do. Obviously amongst a myriad of other things, but it has helped me empathize with other people better. You can also, practice mindfulness, which involves being present in the moment and trying not to judge, right? So by practicing mindfulness, you can become more aware of your own expectations and learn to let go of them, which in turn will help you focus more on the reality of the present moment, right? If you get out of your head and focus on what's going on in front of you, you're going to leave those expectations behind. Another thing is you can challenge your own assumptions, right? You can question the beliefs and the assumptions that lie within you and come out as expectations in others. And you can consider whether these expectations are reasonable and whether they allow room for individual differences or not. It's okay to have expectations of others. This podcast isn't saying it's bad. It's the point of this is to say that in a perfect world, in a perfect mindset, in an enlightened state, you would not expect anything of anybody and accept everything from everybody the way that they are. You don't have to like it. You don't have to keep those people in your life, but you do have to accept it. Now, bringing us into reality, into a real life, the reality of living in 2024, I think just lowering expectations and letting go of the emotions felt behind them is kind of where we can get to. Communication. It's such a big thing for me. Not just communicating, but communicating effectively and in reciprocation, doing your best to understand the other person, right? This open and honest communication is essential for fostering acceptance in relationships. If you can express your thoughts and feelings openly while being receptive to others' perspectives and trying to understand, even if you don't agree, it will boost your relationships both personally, professionally, and romantically to the umpteenth level, I'm telling you. If you can come to a conversation, come to a disagreement from a place of love and understanding, man, your life's going to change. You also need to practice self-reflection, right? You need to take your own time to reflect on who you are, on your own biases and prejudices and obviously expectations. But it allows you to recognize areas where you may be holding on to beliefs that perhaps are too rigid. And it helps you, or allows you, a space to brainstorm on how you can change and challenge your own thought processes. Call it meditation. But it's that self-work, right? And to transition to the next topic of boundaries, setting boundaries. And, you know, while accepting people for who they are is important, it's also so crucial to set boundaries to protect your own well-being, right? Establishing clear boundaries around personalities and people's behaviors that is unacceptable to you while still maintaining an attitude of acceptance will leave you in a spot where you're safe and your feelings are safe and protected, right? That doesn't mean bury into a hole. That doesn't mean put a wall up. That just means set boundaries. Boundaries are so essential for maintaining healthy relationships and safeguarding your well-being, okay? And it comes down to a myriad of factors, the first being self-respect, right? Setting boundaries communicates to others that you value and respect yourself, and it establishes your personal limits and reinforces the importance of your needs and feelings. And I'll give you an example. I am single. I am dating. I have certain boundaries that cannot be crossed, and I ask everybody that I'm dating. One of the things that I set boundaries for is drug use. And I mean synthetic drugs, cocaine and Molly, heroin, crack, meth, whatever. Weed and mushrooms. And if somebody wants to do an ayahuasca retreat, that's fine. I'm talking about the harsh synthetic stuff. It's a boundary of mine. I respect myself enough to know that if I date somebody who does that, it's going to put me in a bad spot. So I let them all know right off the bat, look, you know, is it going to be a problem for you if your partner says that's not cool? Then you move forward depending upon what the answer is. I'm not asking anybody to change. That's the big thing about boundaries is you're not asking anybody to change. You're telling somebody what you won't do. The rest is their decision. They can't put that on you. I'll give you an example. I dated a girl a couple years ago briefly who liked to do Molly. And I found this out within the first few times of talking to her. And I told her right away, I said, hey, you know, just a heads up, if you and I do start dating, that won't fly with me. I can't do that. I understand if it's something that you want to do and this won't work, but if you do want to, you know, pursue something with me, I can't have you do that. And she decided to not, and, you know, didn't work for other reasons, but it's important to have these clear communicative conversations where you tell people your boundaries. It comes back to that self-respect. You have to do what's right for you. And conversely, that person has to do what's right for them. And if the two of you line up and sync up, that's fantastic. And if it doesn't, then that's not the right person for you. It's not a big deal. There's 8 billion people in the world. Go find another. But boundaries also foster healthier and more balanced relationships, and they create clarity about what behavior is acceptable and what's not. And doing this reduces misunderstandings and conflicts, right? So boundaries are healthy. We all know somebody who doesn't have any boundaries, and those people struggle with it. Because boundaries protect your emotional well-being. They prevent others from taking advantage of you, and or disrespecting your feelings. And they help you maintain a sense of control over your own emotions and reactions, because that's all we can control. I mentioned it before. We can't control how other people are. We can only control our emotions and reactions. And asserting boundaries builds self-confidence and self-esteem. It shows that you have a strong sense of self and are willing to advocate for your needs and values. And nothing is more sexy than somebody who is sure of themselves. It's funny because, you know, two and a half years ago, my boundaries were, I think, too extreme. You know, I would rarely leave my bubble for social events. Now I'm driving all over the place for social events. You think I would have put together a charity benefit for animal rescues 2 years ago before I started microdosing? Not a chance in hell. And I was quick to jump on it when it came around. I know you guys are probably fucking super tired of me talking about microdosing psilocybin, but it is such a game changer. It is such a cheat code on life. Where were we? Respect, right? And that self-respect and self-confidence. But there is that respect for others, right? When you establish and enforce boundaries, others are more likely to respect you and your boundaries. And they understand that you have certain expectations and are more likely to honor your boundaries. Make it clear. Nothing wrong with it. You don't have to feel guilty. Setting boundaries requires clear and effective communication, right? And as you communicate your boundaries, you also enhance your communication skills, which leads to better understanding and better connecting in your relationships. And it compounds on itself. Moving, it snowballs, right? The more that you do it, the more your skills increase, which will help reduce your stress, right? Because boundaries and that clear communication of your boundaries prevents situations that can cause discomfort or resentment or overwhelm you or make you feel uncomfortable. And they allow you to prioritize your well-being and focus on what truly matters to you as an individual. And establishing boundaries requires a lot of self-awareness and introspection. Okay, it encourages personal growth as you learn to identify your needs and learn to assert yourself and helps you cultivate these healthier relationships. And by setting boundaries for yourself, you are encouraging others to establish boundaries in their own lives. It's happened to me, right? People have seen that I have no problem saying no to certain things, and they have started to advocate for themselves more. I've seen it in a couple friends. And this mutual respect for boundaries strengthens relationships, and it fosters a supportive environment. The more that people establish boundaries and communicate them, the less misunderstandings and miscommunications and expectations of things you shouldn't expect from the other person because you know their boundaries, which will lead to a stronger relationship, whether that's professional, personal, or romantic. Doesn't really matter. It's across the board, right? Creating boundaries is essential for maintaining balance and respect and emotional well-being in your relationships. It empowers you to take control of your life and cultivate healthier interactions with other people, whether it's people who are close friends or just the fucking checkout clerk at Trader Joe's who yammers on too much. Expectations and boundaries go hand in hand. And the more you can practice boundaries and the more you can practice clear, effective communication, it'll really help alter your expectations and it'll do wonders for your own psyche. I hope that's helpful, guys. I'm sure that I will touch on expectations and boundaries periodically because it's such an important role in my life. And I've become so much more healthy mentally since implementing these ideas. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, obviously reach out to me at mainlyplants on Instagram. You can DM me or you can email me ryan@mainlyplants.com. And until next week, go eat a salad.